Back in 1898, a young lady who was blind from birth named Fanny Crosby wrote several hundreds, thousands of hymns. And one of them that she wrote, the verse goes like this: "When he comes in the clouds descending, and those who loved him hear, from their graves shall awake and praise him with joy and not with fear." When the body and the soul are united and clothed no more to die, what a shouting there will be when each other's face we see changed in the twinkling of an eye. You don't have a clue how excited you're going to be on that day when some of you see a son or a daughter that you've lost, a miscarriage, a baby that you lost, your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, and all of a sudden you're staring them in the face and they look all wonderful and young and beautiful and handsome. That's going to be the shout of all shouts. And some of you are kind of quiet and laid back and introverts, but you're not going to be on that day. You're going to be loud. You're going to be shouting. You're going to be crying. You're going to be so happy you're not going to be able to contain the joy that you're going to have on that day.
Hallelujah.
Another verse of that song: "All the seed that was sown in weakness shall then be raised in power. And the songs of the blood-bought millions will hail that blissful hour. When we gather safely home in the morning and night's dark shadows fly, what a shouting on the shore when we meet to part no more, changed in the twinkling of an eye."
Hallelujah.
It's not a blink of an eye. A blink of an eye is 1/10 of a second. A twinkling of an eye is about 1,000 times faster than that. You saw that video, how someone was there and they're just gone. That's exactly what's going to happen one day, folks. You're going to be walking down the street. You're going to be in your house. You're going to be minding your own business. You're going to take a step. And when you take a step, that next step will be in the clouds of glory. That's how fast it's going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52 says this. Paul wrote this. He says, "I show you a mystery." Now, a mystery is something that is hidden, okay? But now Paul says, this has been hidden for years. People had no idea what was going to happen in time, in the future, with Christ, especially the Old Testament people. They had no idea. This mystery had been hidden. He says, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Now, Paul was saying this because he knew that Christ was going to come and he knew there was going to be a rapture of the church. Everybody's going to be caught up. He knew it. And guess what? He thought that it was going to happen in his day. He was ready for it. Because he says, "We shall not all sleep." We shall not all die. Some people aren't going to die. "But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Do you know that the body that you have right now cannot go to heaven? It's corrupt. Some of you think your body is perfect. My wife thinks mine is. But still yet, there's... I'll get hungry. "I can't believe you said that. You know better than that." Your body has to be changed from a mortal body to an immortal body. This is why this is called change in the twinkling of an eye. This is the great change that is coming. That body that you have is no good to make it into heaven. It's messed up. But you're going to have a brand new body, and it's going to happen in an instant. This scripture that Paul just wrote, that I just read in 1 Corinthians there, it's very consistent with the rest of the Bible. Paul wasn't just making this stuff up, okay? He's reporting a divine truth laid out from the beginning of time. The second thing I want to talk to you about the rapture is that it is imminent. What does the word imminent mean? Imminent means about to happen. Now, there's two parts of this imminent that's important when you consider the rapture. One is the word certain, and the next one is the word uncertain. The rapture is certain to happen. There is nothing you can do about it. When I gave you the title of this message, Ready or Not, Here I Come, that's exactly what's going to happen. If you're ready, He's coming for you. If you're not ready, He's still coming. It's certain to happen. Now, the other part of that is uncertain. The uncertain part of the imminent return of Christ is we don't know when it's going to happen. There's all this debate sometimes over pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Some people think that Christ is going to come back. I believe He's going to come back before the tribulation. I don't want to go through the tribulation. I don't want to do that. And I believe, I firmly believe, according to the scripture and different things I believe, even Paul was looking for the rapture. He kept saying, he was looking for the rapture of the church, and he hadn't gone through no tribulation. He'd gone through trials and stuff like that, yes, but the tribulation itself, as we know it, has not happened yet. So there's people that believe that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation. I believe that's the assembly of God's stance. There's some people believe that it's going to happen halfway through the tribulation, three and a half years in tribulation. This is where I don't buy that, because 3.5 years after the tribulation starts, you could pretty much time the rapture. And no man knows the day nor the hour. You can't date it. People have tried to date the rapture for years and years and years. Well, it's going to happen on this day. You better be ready. Here's the rapture. I've got this all figured out. I unraveled all these clues, and then this is when it's going to happen. It doesn't happen. They don't know. Nobody knows. Jesus Himself said, I don't even know. He said, God the Father is the only one that knows. So if you want to go mid-trib, okay, 3.5 years of tribulation. Well, the rapture is about to happen. Here we go. Same thing with post-trib, the tribulation, the 7 years of that, and at the end of the 7 years, well, time for the rapture. I personally don't believe that. I believe that we're going to be ushered out of here before the tribulation starts. At least that's my firm hope and belief. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus said this. Now, we just took communion because all the disciples were gathered together, and they were having this final supper together. And Jesus kept saying in there, He kept saying things like, I'm going to go away. You guys aren't going to see Me anymore. Where I'm going, you cannot come. And the disciples said, well, wait a minute, Lord, what are You talking about? Where are You going? How come we can't come? And there's a lot of this confusion in their mind. And so Jesus said this, and He also said this to us. This is what He said. Let not your heart be troubled. Because their hearts were troubled with the things He was saying. You can relate that to us today. Let not your heart be troubled, because we all go through things in life that we don't like. And it troubles us, doesn't it? Our hearts get troubled. And here Jesus speaks to us and says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then He says, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can I tell you some action verbs that are in this particular verse? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Now let me tell you something. God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. He went away 2,000 years ago to prepare a place for you and me. If He's been preparing a place for me for 2,000 years, what in the world does it look like? I'll tell you what it is. It's beyond your imagination. You see, Paul even says that he was ushered up into the third heavens, and he saw things that he could not speak about. I believe they were so awesome that if you knew What your loved ones are experiencing right now that have gone on before you, your sons, your daughters, your moms, your dads, your grandmas, your grandpas, if you knew exactly what they were experiencing right now, it would be your heart's desire to die today so you could go be with them. This is why it's shut off from you. You cannot see what they're doing. If you could see it, you would want to go there right now. You would do stupid things like accidentally walk out into a busy highway because you just, I'll do anything to get there. It's hidden from us because it's so wonderful. He's gone to prepare a place for us. Of course, we translate this into mansions and things like that. I don't care. I'm not setting my face, oh, I'm going to go to heaven because I want to have a mansion. I finally want to have a mansion. My wife and I live on a little cabin on the river. And to me, it's a touch of heaven. I love it. If I got to heaven and I had that cabin on a river like that, I'd be just as happy with that as I'd be a big old mansion. That's fine with me. I don't know what he has prepared for you, but I will tell you this, it's the best thing you'll ever see in your entire life. It's the best experience that you'll ever have in your entire life. You'll never, ever know what's waiting for you until you get there. But I like this, what he said in that scripture. I go to prepare a place for you, an action. But then I love this last half. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You see, that's it right there. He's coming again. Maybe today, tomorrow, next month, next year, 10 years from now. I don't know. My mom and my dad lived to be 97 years old. And when he was 97 years old, you know what he was looking for? The rapture. Just before he died, he was still looking for the rapture. My mom is currently 99 years old. You know what she's looking for? The rapture. If you said, Mom, what's the great event in your life that you're looking for? She will, without hesitation, tell you the rapture. Why? Because you have to live expecting the rapture to happen at any moment. And that's how they live their life, thinking that Christ was coming back. My dad always said, I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. Well, let me tell you something. My dad did breathe his last, but he found his hole in the sky because he was just ushered up into the presence of God Almighty. And my mom, being 99, she swears up and down she's going to witness the rapture. If she's going to witness the rapture, folks, you better get ready because she's 99 years old. And how much longer does she have, for Pete's sakes? She's 99, and she thinks she's going to witness the rapture. If she's going to witness the rapture, every one of you should be down at this altar this morning crying out to God for yourself and your family, because it's just around the corner. Lastly, stay ready. There was a man that worked in a factory, and every day at 4 p.m. when the horn would go off, he was the first one every day for years out the door. He was the very first one to clock out and to leave. Finally, somebody asked him, how in the world do you get out of here on time every day so fast? He said, because I stay ready. This is what I encourage you to do this morning. Stay ready. Stay ready. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Mark? We already prayed a prayer of salvation, but I'm going to do a different one here in just a moment. You stay ready by having Christ be the Lord of your life 24 hours a day. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to mess up because you live in a corrupt body. And you're just a little messed up already. But the grace of Jesus Christ far exceeds our imagination also, how much grace he has for us. But if you live blatantly away from Christ and you know better, but you don't care, you're liable to miss the rapture. There's something else imminent, folks, and let me just tell you about it real quick here. Your death is imminent. It's certain and it's uncertain. It's certain to happen, but it's uncertain when that's going to be. So therefore, you have to stay ready. You stay ready if God calls you home. You stay ready if the rapture happens. But speaking of receiving Christ, just a couple of scriptures here as we end this service. One that we all know so well, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. For God sent his Son not into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He didn't come to condemn you. I don't stand here to condemn you either. I just stand here to encourage you. That scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when I talked about when Paul was talking to the Thessalonians, because they were worried about their loved ones. They were worried because their loved ones had died, and now Paul was preaching that Christ is coming again. There's going to be a great event, and they were all upset because they're thinking, well, our loved ones died. They're not going to be a part of that. And Paul said, hey, now, wait a minute. No, they're going to be the first to rise. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive are going to be caught up together. And at the end of that scripture, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. So as tough as it might be sometimes to talk about the rapture or think about the rapture, I stand here this morning to encourage you, to comfort you. We should all be excited about the rapture of the church. Amen. I'm just telling you, folks, this world is in bad shape. And I don't believe it's going to get a whole lot better. I don't care who the president is. There's still going to be things that are going to happen in this world that's going to usher in the rapture of the church. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is it right here. Listen to this carefully. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
Did you hear how simple that is? Hallelujah. Just confess him as Lord. Confess the fact that he did die for you, that he rose again, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and believe in him, and change your life, and change your ways, and you'll be ready, and you'll stay ready, no matter what happens to you, by death or by rapture, you're going to make it to heaven, my friends.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, if you would. Yes, yes, yes.
Time is now. Tomorrow may not come. So I say unto you, the door is open. Walk in and receive. For I'm here to receive you, saith the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, we believe that this morning. We believe that this morning 100%. Today is the day of salvation. I want to pray a prayer this morning. It's a prayer of salvation. And I want everybody in this place that would please to repeat these things after me. Now, let me tell you something. When I pray like this, and I used to do this with kids, and I would pray a prayer of salvation. I said, kids, I want you to pray this with me, but I don't want you to do it if you're not going to mean it. If you don't mean it, just sit there quietly while I pray this prayer. But if you can pray this prayer this morning and you can mean it, I want you to do that. And when you walk out these doors this morning, you're a different person. You're different. So bow your heads and close your eyes and just repeat these simple words, if you would. Dear Jesus, I know I'm not perfect. And I mess up a lot. But I know you died for me. And I know you rose again. So on this day, I receive you as my personal Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, my trespasses, the things that I have done that you don't like. Cleanse my heart right now. And I commit to follow you all the days of my life from this day forward. Bless your name, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for those that pray this prayer maybe for the first time of their life. God, if they pray this prayer in a minute, then they are a different person this morning. And when they leave here today, they can leave here with joy and knowing that if your return happens today, this afternoon, tomorrow, they'll be ready and they will be ushered up into the presence of God Almighty. They'll be ushered up into the clouds of glory. Lord, we're so grateful this morning for your grace and your mercy and all these wonderful things that you have given to us freely. God, I pray you bless these people. Bless them for their faithfulness to you on this day, this morning. Walk with them as they leave here. Protect them and guide them, God, throughout their life. We'll give you praise in your precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you guys for coming out.